We're discussing outdoor plastic dining bubbles and other efforts to keep people eating out as safely as possible and doing it outdoors in our Wisconsin winter. Thanks for joining us here on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Restaurants across the country and in Wisconsin, they've struggled for months to stay afloat. Some are making a run at outdoor seating with space heaters, outdoor plastic coverings. What is your experience dining outdoors in frigid temps? When was the last time you ate at a restaurant? Are you waiting until the pandemic is over? It's 800-642-1234. Tom Anderson is owner and operator of Buck and Honey's restaurant with locations in Sun Prairie, Monona, and Wanakee. Tom, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Good morning. Thank you very much. Happy to be here.
Good morning. We also have Eric Wagner with us, CEO of Lowlands Group, which owns 8 restaurants in and around Milwaukee and Madison. Eric, welcome to you.
Thanks, Kate. Happy to be around.
Well, Eric, let's start with you. We're in single digits down south this morning, well below zero in the northern part of our state. How do you do outdoor dining?
You get really, really crafty. We invented these ductwork heating systems outside of most of our domes and in our tents. We've had to get really innovative and trying to get electricity to them to heat them, but they're mostly all heated, and actually they're pretty comfortable until it gets, into the frigid temps or it's really, really windy.
Okay, domes, tents, give us a mind's eye picture here of what you're talking about.
So our domes are 12-foot wide geodesic domes, and they're for private parties, mostly 6 people, sometimes 8. And then the greenhouses are 8-foot square greenhouses, and those feet sit up to a maximum of 6 people. And company-wide this year, we've rolled out about almost 30 of the greenhouses that we mostly call canal houses, and we've got about 14 domes across the company.
Wow. So this is quite a bit of outdoor infrastructure. Can I ask how much have you spent on all of this?
I haven't looked at the full number because I don't know that I really want to. It has been a massive investment, but sitting on our hands just wasn't, it's not in our DNA and it wasn't how we wanted to deal with it. So we thought we would just get as creative as possible. There's no doubt it's not a no-brainer. But so far the reception has been really great. And I think it's pulling a lot of people out that were maybe a little bit nervous to eat indoors and giving them an opportunity to do something, really interesting with family and friends outside of the house.
All right, Tom, Buck and Honeys, how are you doing it outdoors?
We're doing the best we can with the outdoor seating. Eric's group is leading the way on outdoor dining with the domes and the greenhouses. Eric, I was just at Hollander Cafe last week. We're out shopping at Hilldale and enjoyed a great meal there. So thanks for having us. Your staff was wonderful, and they're doing kind of above and beyond in Milwaukee. I've been down there to visit their locations. We've jumped in the dome ideas and really enjoy it. We've decorated it. They look like Hallmark movies. You go in, really, really tried to go above and beyond for our guests to give them an experience in the dome creations. We don't have quite as many as the Lowland Group has expanded to. It's a difficult situation because of the expense that it takes. We actually built 3 of them that within 3 days got tore apart with a storm that came through with 60-mile-an-hour winds.
Wow.
And so it's a fine line of figuring out how to make them work. You need to certainly invest into the outdoor domes to make sure that they're sustainable to weather in Wisconsin, which can change daily, as we all know. Well, but we have some fire pits that are really, really expansive. We have a 30-foot firewall at our location in Monona that people love. And they'll sit out we'll make sure the snow's cleared off, and they'll sit by that daily with tables next to that and fire pits and stuff that we use. But we also have a couple of the domes that people just love. So what were you going to ask, Lee?
I was going to say, Tom, it's not only the infrastructure, but you also have to have that right real estate. You have to have that patio option in order to build out this outdoor seating.
Yeah. And one thing that we've been really fortunate, all of our locations are, they're pretty large locations with event spaces. Obviously, that's been a huge area that's hurt us is our events and catering. We have multiple kitchens at each location. One kitchen handles the restaurant, and the other kitchen handles our event spaces because we do so many parties. Obviously, we haven't held an event at either location or any of the locations since March. So we're able to expand our guests and spread them out with social distancing and use those event spaces as overflow dining. And we've done some things to keep our guests really safe, such as the UV light for cleaning, and then we have an antimicrobial spray that we've put on our surfaces, and done some filtration things with our HVAC systems to really help hopefully guests feel safe when they come to Buck and Honey's, and we spread them out. That's kind of one of the goals, that it feels very spacious and very clean, and we do those types of things as well for indoor dining. But the outdoor, again, is the topic here. And we're trying to let them sit outside if they want, if we create those spaces for them.
We're talking with Tom Anderson there, who is owner and operator of Buck and Honey's restaurant. Eric Wagner is here, CEO of Lowlands Group, which owns 8 restaurants around the Milwaukee-Madison area. They're explaining their approach to outdoor dining and taking your questions about it as well at 800-642-1234. Eric, on the subject of indoors, how do you keep your patrons comfortable while dining inside and feeling safe? You have these outdoor options, but you will eventually also have patrons indoors.
Yeah, kind of along the lines of what Tom was saying, we've done all kinds of things. We've replaced our HVAC filters with MERV 13 filters, which are actually used in surgical arenas in many hospitals. We've separated all of our tables at least 6 feet apart. Our servers really from day one have been wearing masks, consistently. We really jumped on that early. And we've built, partitions throughout the restaurants to additionally keep people separated. And, with our HVAC systems, and I'm sure Tom's buildings are the same, they sound like, really nice big buildings. We're moving a lot of air in these buildings, and I think that helps a lot too. And just keeping people really separated. And I think the biggest thing also is making sure that they really understand that we take it seriously, our teams take it seriously, and I think that provides a lot of comfort.
Have you been able to get access to enough PPE, personal protective equipment? You mentioned masks.
We have. It was tight early on, but most of our staff has gotten creative on their own and have found them on their own. We also will hand them out to customers, so we have been able to get them in boxes. If for some reason somebody's forgotten one, we're happy to supply one when they walk in.
So at Buck and Honey's, what is the policy on mask wearing, Tom?
Oh, yeah. That, like Eric, since the very beginning, I think we were one of the first restaurants to actually shut down in March when we knew that the order was coming and we could see what was happening across the country. We closed down a couple of days prior to the order, and mask wearing was the number one thing that we required right away. We waited about a month to reopen for anything, for carry out, dine in, whatever. So we just kind of hit pause and just kind of waited for the information to come to us and be prepared. We didn't open for indoor dining for quite a bit, but we did do some carry out after about a month and a half of the shutdown back in March. And we when it comes to the mask, that's number one. It's been a requirement, and we've taken an approach with our staff. Restaurants are, they care about their staff so much, and that's, and Eric's group, like all restaurants, your staff is everything. They're family, and you live together, more than you do with some of your own personal family. So we took the approach of protect yourself. If everybody protects themselves, like to a T, then you will protect your coworkers and you'll protect the guests. So anytime you touch anything, make sure you're sanitizing and washing your hands. And we have sanitation stations set up throughout the restaurant. Anytime you deliver food, we wear gloves like nonstop. And to talk about PPE, gloves were a scarcity and very expensive. These PPP items for restaurateurs are so expensive. On top of gloves and masks and even to go boxes, you name that. I mean, the expense that we carry just to do takeout and not change our pricing. These are different expenses that restaurants have taken on that we're just not used to either.
You're absorbing so much more.
Yes, ma'am. Yeah, you got it. So, but protect yourself and it'll protect everybody else. And we just preach that. And that is so true with COVID, right? I mean, throughout in anything, if, you know, if you're not feeling well, you know, so we went through processes of screening before anybody even punches in. They've got to go through a screening process when they come into work. They can't even touch the POS until they hit they answer all these questions, get their temperature taken, yada yada, and then they can punch in. So we really started like focused on the staff person. And if we do that right away and everybody does that, then it'll protect everybody else. And that's really worked well. We haven't, knock on wood, we have not seen any spread in our restaurants at all internally. Obviously people outside of, you could go to a family function and it can happen, and that has happened. But as soon as it does, you deal with that in certain protocols.
Eric, would you like to add anything there about how you approach staffing in these times?
It has been an absolute roller coaster ride. I think really since the beginning, the shutdown happened and we started to reopen and there was so much confusion and fear. And it really took, consistently talking with our teams. And I mean, I would be remiss without saying what an amazing experience it has been seeing, restaurant employees everywhere. But, obviously we're most familiar with ours, going through what they have gone through, the pressure that they've been under. The mask wearing, the additional protocols, at times people not wanting to wear masks and all of these issues that were just so new. It's been remarkable seeing our people, and I'm sure Tom would say the same thing, rise to the occasion. Mm-hmm. But it has been really, really difficult. And it's just been a really trying time, obviously, for everybody. But we've also seen some really great people rise to the occasion.
We have restaurateurs Eric Wagner, Tom Anderson here explaining their efforts to seat patrons outdoors amid the pandemic and other efforts to keep patrons safe. You can join in. Should restaurants forge ahead and seat outdoors? 800-642-1234. Back in a minute on the Ideas Network. It's the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. Let's get back to our conversation with restaurateurs Eric Wagner and Tom Anderson about how their locations are adapting to outdoor eating in the pandemic, how they're working with their staff. Outdoor dining is safer than indoor, but it's still risky, according to the CDC. And some cities, like Los Angeles, have started to ban outdoor dining as COVID cases continue to rise. Should Wisconsin restaurants seat customers outdoors in the winter? Has your restaurant remodeled its patio to seat people this winter? Is it financially viable? Will customers go for it? Join in 800-642-1234. And Eric Wagner and Tom Anderson, stay with us for 10 more minutes. Let's take a call now. Anthony is with us from Eau Claire. Hi, Anthony.
Hello, how's it going?
Good. What is your question?
I just wanted to ask Eric and Tom, they're talking about how they're purchasing a bunch of PPE equipment. And I was just wondering if they think about how that's taking away from the healthcare system. And if so, are they trying to help out at all with the healthcare system and hospitals around where their businesses are?
Eric, how about you first? Your reflections on PPE and where it goes?
Yeah, I don't know about the supply side and whether or not the few masks that we're buying to hand out for free to customers that don't have them is impacting healthcare. But I will say that the healthcare workers is something we take incredibly seriously. We have a great contingent of nurses that are in after the third shift in the morning for breakfast. And so actually last week, for the week of Christmas, we donated 1,000, we call them snackoodery boxes, and they're effectively charcuterie boxes with snacks. Normally they retail for about $35 each. So we made a $35,000 donation to all the frontline workers last week, and they came and we delivered a bunch to Freightert, and we had a whole bunch of them picked up in our restaurant. So it's an issue that we take seriously. We respect what they have done for as long as they have done it. But I don't have visibility into the impact of the supply side.
Tom, anything to add there on the supply side and where PPE goes?
No, it's funny that, this question came up. I asked one of our providers probably a month ago about that, the same question that the caller had. And I said, as hey, as us, because we're struggling to get this stuff, you know, and this probably a couple months ago, it was really hard to procure gloves, for example. I said, hey, we're struggling to get this. Does this take away from the healthcare workers? And so he actually went to his, you know, above him and found out that, you know, this is secured for the hospitality industry or for the restaurant industry. Everything comes first to the hospitals and stuff. So he answered my question to make me feel good about the question that the caller had. So I believe, again, this is not, you know, data that I can document, but I believe that, you know, all of it goes to where it's needed the most in the front lines first. And that's why it's so difficult for hospitality and stuff to get it. And again, it has freed up, like Eric said. It's not as difficult today as it was maybe a couple months ago.
Well, I want to go back outside here for a moment, if you will, Eric. You know, wind, snow, extreme temperatures. How do the domes and the tents do with wear and tear? How do they hold up to our winter?
The wind is definitely a challenge. We have, for the greenhouses, we've actually run nylon straps over the top of them and secured them down to make sure that they don't go anywhere or have any major issues. The snow, if we get it off the tops, it actually works pretty well. And I will tell you that the most cozy time to be in these things is during a snowstorm. The heater works. You get six people in. It's really comfortable. We just have to be really, really aware of these big events like Tom was talking about. Those are the most dangerous parts.
Tom, what about for you in the, you know, you've had issues with wind. How do you deal with the wear and tear of this stuff?
Yeah, I, if there's any other restaurateurs out there that are listening to this and are thinking of doing some sort of outdoor dome or tent or anything, my advice is don't go for, you know, spend the money on the extra. And Eric will probably agree with this. We put up, like I said, two of them that we tried a different concept. Like, oh, these are, you know, these domes are a couple $1,000 a piece. The round ones, $1,500 to $2,000, and then you decorate it and everything. You're in for it's an investment. So we found some that were about half the price. Let's say $1,000 to put this tent in it. It had decent reviews, but yeah, within 3 days they were ruined. So if you're thinking about doing it, spend the extra money. And they're also very difficult to get because it is in such high demand that, you know, you're almost buying them now for next season.
Any advice you have there, Tom, on fire pits and maintaining those with your patrons?
Yeah, again, it's Wisconsin. So we have a 30, like I said, a 30-foot fire pit feature outdoors in our Monona location. And United Brick and Fireplace in Madison did that. We had it custom made. And they maintain it, and it's something that people really love, and it's a beautiful feature for the indoor diners to see outside. But when you're sitting next to it, it actually does give off heat, and you know, it's Wisconsin though. You know, if you're sitting outside and it's 10 degrees, a fire pit's not going to keep you warm.
Yeah.
So the dome is really the option for outdoor dining.
We're talking with Tom Anderson, owner and operator of Buck and Honey's Restaurant. Eric Wagner is here, CEO of Lowlands Group, which owns 8 restaurants in and around the Milwaukee and Madison area, talking about outdoor dining and taking your questions and what you've experienced at 800-642-1234. Val is joining us now from Milwaukee. Hi, Val. What are your thoughts on eating outdoors?
Hey, good morning. Thank you so much for taking my call. Unfortunately, while the efforts are much needed on behalf of all of the people who work in that industry, I hate to say it, but it's a waste of time. An encapsulated area, a seating area is a seating area. Aerosolized exhalations from people breathing, talking, laughing, it's going to be the same whether it's indoors or outdoors. So I'm sorry, but in my opinion, as far as the transmission and whatnot, it's not going to make a difference. It's not. A seating area is a seating area.
Eric, how do you respond there? A seating area is a seating area, regardless whether it's indoors or outdoors with transmission.
You know, the more that we learn from studies and the more that we see in the CDC, the more that we learn that it isn't passing outdoors as much and that it is safer outdoors. And then, you know, I think it is also different in particular. I don't know if the caller was talking about outdoors in general or particularly in the greenhouses and the domes, But it is different because each one of these is a, it's a private event for the people that you're close with. We stagger all of the reservations so that we have a half hour in between them so that we can come in and sanitize and clean. We've purchased these ionizer foggers. So we clean the air after each one and air them out. And these things are, you know, they're sieves. So they let air in and out of these things. So we actually think this is a really safe way for people to come out and enjoy themselves with people that are in their bubble.
We heard from Karen in Madison, called in, couldn't stay with us. Karen wants to know, Tom, how do you keep the food warm enough for people when you're moving it outdoors?
Yeah, that's a good question and always a, you know, kind of a conundrum a little bit. We do have trays that have covers on them when we take them out, when we do take it outdoors. We have a little light, for example, and Eric probably has a system too with his. So for the domes and for our staff, you know, to check on the table and everything, we put a little light outside where if it's green, it means they're good. And if it's red, then it means they need service. So our staff isn't running back and forth outdoors when it's, you know, when it's freezing cold outside or when, you know, and obviously with food, we just cover the tray and get it there as fast as possible.
Eric, any tips there on keeping the food warm?
Yeah, I mean, it's all part of the gymnastics that restaurants have had to go through in every way. I mean, we kind of invented, you know, whole new family boxes that come in a box so that we can get it to the domes faster. And then we also use our to-go cardboard a lot in the domes to keep them covered. But and like Tom said, we use covers at times, too. It is there's no doubt it's a challenge.
Well, thank you both for joining us.
Thank you.
Tom. Yeah, Eric, good to talk to you.
Same here, Tom.
Tom Anderson, owner and operator of Buck and Honey's Restaurant with locations in Sun Prairie, Monona, and Wanakee. Eric Wagner, their CEO of Lowlands Group, owns 8 restaurants in and around Milwaukee and Madison. Just ahead, we have an author of History and Politics joins us to discuss the legacy of the Confederate soldiers buried in Wisconsin. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. This is The Morning Show, and you're listening to the Ideas Network.